Gracious God, we pray that the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, the Spirit of God who lives in us, help us to hear these words and be moved to greater faith and obedience. Amen. Some years ago, the esteemed Baptist minister R.G. Lee went to the Holy Land. And when he was in Jerusalem, he wanted to be taken straight to Gordon's Calvary, which some regard as the site of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've been there. I've seen it. It looks like a skull. His Arab guide was reluctant to take him there, but Dr. Lee insisted that they go to Gordon's Calvary, and he didn't just want to see it, but he wanted to climb to the very summit of that scarred, barren, rocky hill. They made their way up to the top, and normally Dr. Lee became suddenly very quiet and hushed. He took off his hat and he bowed his head. And his Arab guide said to him, he said, "Excuse me, have you been here before?" And Dr. Lee said, "Oh, yes, I was here 2,000 years ago." We sing the old spiritual, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when he rose up from the grave?" And the gospel truth is that you were there. I was there. That is the gist of the New Testament reading that I want to spend a few moments with you tonight on in Romans chapter 6. The good news of our faith, the good news that we affirm in our baptism, that we were crucified with Christ to the old life. And we were raised with him to new life, to God. The context for this very rich affirmation of the gospel is very important for us to see, as Romans chapter 6 follows right on the heels of Romans chapter 5, one of the most theologically dense and rich, complex passages of all of Scripture, where it begins that we are justified by faith. And in that chapter, the Apostle Paul tells us that by the grace of God, we have been transferred out of Adam into Christ. I was born like you were born. I was born of the race of Adam. Let me tell you, no one had to teach little Tim Smith how to be selfish. No one had to teach me how to lie. No one had to teach me how to cheat. It came naturally. I was born of the race of Adam. And Paul tells us that by the grace of God, we have been transferred out of the race of Adam into our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul ends that chapter with the marvelous affirmation that where sin abounded, what? Grace literally superabounded. Sin brought forth grace, which, if you're thinking anything like I might be thinking, okay then, if sin brings in grace, then why not sin? I had a professor who, when I was in seminary, he said that if in preaching grace, there have not been times that we have been accused of preaching license, then we have not truly preached grace. When we hear the super abounding grace of God, it leads Paul to Romans chapter 6, verse 1, where he says, "Should we then not continue in sin that grace abound?" And Paul says, it cannot, because something happened to us on that Good Friday. We were crucified with Christ to slavery to sin. And we were made new, we were brought to new life to God on that Easter. So we cannot go on in slavery to sin, because he says we have died, we have been baptized into the very death of Jesus, and we have in him been raised to new life. St. Augustine, after his confession, one day he was walking down a street in Milan, Italy, and a prostitute whom he had once known called after him, "Augustine, Augustine." He paid no heed but kept on walking. And she said, "Augustine, Augustine, it is I." And he stopped and he said, "Yes, I know, but it is not I. I'm a new person. I'm not what I once was." Because we know that when Christ was crucified, we were crucified with him to the old life, to the slavery of sin. And we have been raised to new life in him. So this Easter event is not just something that happened historically 2,000 years ago. It is something that happens in our lives. Now, in this very rich text that was read for us here this morning, there are just two words, two verbs that I would like to lift out for our attention. The first verb is the verb to know. He understands that these Roman Christians, whom he has never seen, he knows that they understand the very basic of the gospel, the very basic of the good news that says that we were baptized into the death of Jesus, that we might be baptized into his new life. That's the gospel. We have been so identified with Jesus in his death that we are identified with him in his resurrection. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:13 that we have been baptized, we have been identified with the very death and life of Jesus Christ. We were there when it happened. We were in him. This is of the very essence, the very substance of our baptismal vows that we vowed a few moments ago. This word baptize is a very interesting word. Actually, it is not a translation. It is a transliteration of a Greek word, bapto. It was a word that was used of the ancient fuller, that person who worked with cloth, as he would take a bit of unbleached raw cloth and he would put it into a vat of dye, and he would bring that cloth out of the dye, and it had a new identity. It was said to have been baptized. The wonderful news of this Easter night is that we have been identified with Jesus in his death. We are identified with him, therefore, in his new life as we live into God. We have died to the dominion, to the reign of sin. That's the first word, the first verb that I want to lift out for our thinking tonight. We know this. This is something that we know as followers of Jesus Christ. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. By our crucifixion with Christ, we have died to the reign of sin, to the control of sin, to the power of sin. So that first word I want to lift out is that word know. This is something that we know tonight. We were there when Jesus was crucified. We were there when he was raised from the dead because Jesus is our life. The second word, the second verb that stands out to me in our text is there at the very end of our reading, and that is the word to consider. Please notice that this is the very first command that Paul has given in the book of Romans. This is his first imperative. Because for 6.5 chapters, he has talked about what God has done for you and me. He has transferred us from the life of Adam into the life of Jesus Christ. He has transferred us out of the reign and the dominion of slavery. He has been focusing on what God has done for us. Now he gives his first command, and that is that you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. There's something that we know, that we died with Christ, that we might live this new life with Christ. We know that. Now he says, I want you to consider, to consider. This word, consider, logizomai, the Greek word, it was actually a bookkeeping term. It was to enter down into an account book that which I know to be true. I have such amount of money in my pocket, I enter in, that's what I know is to be true. That's what I have. And he says, consider yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. He says, consider, put it down what you know to be true. It's not based on what I feel. It's not based on what I hope to be true, but it's based upon a fact, it's based upon a reality that we know upon the basis of God's word that we have died with him to the reign of sin that we might live to God. So consider yourself as dead to the reign of sin, and you're alive to God in Jesus Christ. The force of this was brought home to me recently when a friend who is a wonderful psychologist here in town related that he was in a especially difficult counseling session, and towards the end of his session, he just caught himself saying under his breath, "What are we going to do?" He was talking to Jesus. What are we going to do as we share life together? So we're joined with Christ. And I think here that the Apostle Paul is saying that the key to Christian living, the key to Easter faith, is in knowing that we have been taken out of Adam and we have been joined to the life of Jesus Christ. We are new people. A truth that I think the Apostle Paul wonderfully sums up in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We have something to know here this Easter vigil, that we were there when Christ was crucified. We were there when he was raised from the dead into new life. And knowing that, we consider it, we put it down as true, and we live it. That God has freed us from the dominion of sin and death, that we might live to God. Booker T. Washington was of that last generation to be born into slavery here in this country. He tells in his book, Up From Slavery, about being born on a plantation in Franklin, Virginia. And he says that each day he was fearful that he would be flogged. Each day he was fearful of the cruelty that he might endure. He tells of never have a morning that they ever slept in. But as soon as the rooster crowed, they were all out of bed to go work a long day in the fields. And then Booker T. Washington tells how one day the news of the Emancipation Proclamation came down to their plantation. And he tells how the morning after they received the news of the emancipation from slavery, he says he was awakened by a loud noise outside. They had no window in his little cabin. They had only a hole through which the cat came and went. And he looked out that hole, and he saw the rooster being chased by his mother with an axe. And he said she fried up the alarm clock for lunch as that rooster was a symbol of the slavery under which they once lived. Paul has sounded the good news that in Jesus Christ, in his death and resurrection, that we have been freed from the dominion, from the slavery to sin and death. So Paul says, you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen.